Awkward people, Stephanie and I are super excited to announce a new partnership that we have with a swinging community site called SDC. Now, the way that we're going to handle this one is this is where we're going to communicate from now on with anybody that we want to play with, because SDC has a great way of letting us figure out exactly what somebody is. It's going to ask all the right questions. I get to know what their height, their weight, their play preference. All kinds of pictures, they can upload videos, and it makes it super easy to search and verify location on. So we figured, hey, if they're gonna let us play and advertise, that's probably gonna be the right site for us to use, right, Steph?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense.
It's like window shopping now. Steph can just jump on and whoever she likes, boom, right there. Now, if you wanna make sure that you get connected with us on that site, sign up through our link, awkward. XXX.com. Anybody that signs up there, we will find out. Now, maybe not immediately because we're still learning, but we will find you and we will send you a message saying, hey, thank you for joining. And it'll be a great way for us to connect and have unfiltered conversation together. So we're really looking forward to it. And hopefully, we'll see you online at AwkwardXX.
So, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene. The Summer's Eve products, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve
Right.
or spring blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself, too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to take away that natural,
Flavor.
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code Stephanie Class X and get yourself.
So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like you kind of saw it in movies, you're like, oh, it's a penis pump, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme 7, and I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout. My dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player. And it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then maybe do 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before. So I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. Bathmatedirect.com/StephanieClassX. You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Class, along with my wife, OnlyFans model, and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Class. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you. All right, everybody, welcome back. Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. You are now listening to the number 3 podcast
Yeah.
on sexuality. in the UAE. I'm not sure what that means for anybody. I'm not sure that the UAE is particularly known for their podcasts on sexuality, but I am very proud to hold the number three spot.
Yeah.
Today, we have a super exciting interview, and I think I may be more excited than you are, because in the midst of your anxiety,
yes,
and you were just like miserable about things, I did a deep dive, yes, into the female orgasm. Like,
hardcore.
I was reading books. I don't read books. It's not something I do. I was reading books.
Yes.
I'm still fucking clueless. So we've got an expert here. This is Mangala Holland, and she's going to talk to us a little bit today about female orgasms and all,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And I hope I didn't just ruin your introduction, but please.
Yeah, so let her introduce herself.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me, you two.
Yeah.
I'm Mangala. I'm based in the UK. I'm an expert in female pleasure and orgasms. And I've been teaching this body of work for over a decade now. I've worked with thousands of women and vulva owners, helping them go from being blocked, disconnected, shut down, not experiencing orgasms, all the way through to having incredible orgasms and fulfilling sex life. I'm also an Amazon number one best-selling author of,
ooh,
Orgasms Made Easy. So and I'm just on a mission to really help everybody have the best pleasure possible.
That's awesome.
It seems like there was a bit of a double entendre there with that strawberry.
it was done correctly.
That's awesome. We're so excited because she in particular has had an interesting path, I would say, with
journey
with orgasms.
Yes.
And I still feel like she has a huge journey ahead of her.
Yes.
Because it has been one of those things for her, letting go and just kind of like being able to get out of her head has been the biggest part of this. And I mean, I've been supportive to the point to where I'm like, look, if it vibrates or if somebody could possibly, you know, even hint to the idea that it could make her have an orgasm at one point, I was buying the toys. Like, hey,
right,
let's try
this. You bought so much stuff over the years.
But it wasn't like me like forcing it on her. It was,
no,
like, look, something you're going to find is going to make you comfortable. And I think over the course of the years, we've made three moves to different toys.
Yeah.
And it was one that we bought from Spencer's Gifts,
yeah,
which was like ran on a D battery.
Yeah, it was like super cheap.
Yeah, and then it was
The Hitachi,
which you were like, that made your whole vagina numb.
That one was a little intense. But
and then it went to your
little bullet
thing, yeah, that you have, and that's where you're stuck at.
Yeah, I'm stuck there.
But
I'm happy with it, but like, you know, I know that there's so much more out there, but it's hard for me to break out and like be willing to try, you know, other things and maybe not succeed, you know, in the end. So I know I have to work on it. It's just, it's a hard thing.
She has a hard time with the not succeeding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm fine with like, you can try something without a goal and just try to enjoy it and get into a moment. But she's like, within 2 minutes, if I don't see the potential of this goal happening, I'm done. And I'm like, it could take more than 2 minutes to get into the vibe of something. But again, I don't have a vagina, so what do I know what I'm talking about? So maybe you can talk to her and maybe she'll listen to you.
Or just everybody in general, not just me in particular, but just everybody.
Well, I'm talking
to you. Yeah. But I was going to say, this is so, so, so common. Like, particularly what you said about, you know, being on that big journey, struggling to let go, being stuck in your head. I hear this all day, every day. So it is so, so, so common. It really is. And so much of this, you know, it can get... Some of this is the arousal patterns we've created over a long period of time. Sometimes it's when we get stuck in this loop, like, oh, what's the point? Why even bother? Because I'm going to get to a certain point, as you say, if it doesn't happen in 2 minutes or it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere, what's the point? And then that becomes like a negative reinforcement and you're kind of like dreading it. It feels like a chore. What's the point? And all of this stuff. So I hear this all of the time. So I just want to say, you know, you are normal. This is not, I hear this all the time. And also with, I know people who've used the Hitachi and got numb from that as well. And I like to dial things right back, because the work I do is we need to have a foundation first in place for pleasure. And that foundation comes from creating a certain amount of safety in your body and in your nervous system, and working with tools and techniques to be able to stay in your body and not go into your head during sex. Okay. This is so fundamental. And this is where, you know, and I always say to my clients, I could give you the best tools, the best techniques for amazing orgasms, but if you don't feel that you can stay in your body, then it's only going to take you so far. And okay. I'm sure you know that for yourself. Yeah. So this is so common, and there's so much that we can do. Like, there is so much that we can do that doesn't need to take hours and hours and hours. We can just do simple things for a few minutes each day that just help us get into the body easily, be able to stay there more, be able to get out of your head, diminish the stress, overwhelm, anxiety, insecurity, whatever's going on in the background. And it's amazing what can shift. And that is the core of the work that I do with people. All right. So
well, it's nice to continuously hear that you're not weird.
Right, or the outlier.
A big part of her journey is every step of the way that we've gone through this. I'm like, dude, like, it's, you can talk about it, and there is a solution. You're not the only person that's had this.
But
with the anxiety that she had, it just made everything so much more raw and just hard to deal with. That now that we've kind of worked on that, and she's, I mean, compared to 6 months ago, she's a different person. It's amazing. And now she's like willing to approach these issues and be like, okay, I can see the benefit of possibly learning how to, you know, orgasm differently and, you know, being able to enjoy this.
Maybe there's not just one way to, you know, have it done. There could be, you know, a whole like variety of ways that it can happen as opposed to like me. I'm like, I have to do things in a certain way, in a certain position, everything has to like fall into place and be in the right like order or else it's not happening. So
we complement each other very well, because I'm absolute chaos.
Yes. Everything has to be order for me, but
well, that's it. This is another thing I hear all the time. It's like the stars have to align, everything has to be like this, and if one of those things is out of place, then it's not gonna work.
That's 100% me. If the fan's blowing on me too hard, or it's just done. So
I'll look over halfway through and she's watching the cats playing. And I'm like, the focus.
I'm like, I am trying to focus, but like, they caught my attention and whoop, there it goes. Like, you know, I could be so close and then just.
I try to kick the cats out. She's like, no, they'll be fine.
They have to get you, they're kittens. So they have to get used to like being around. So, you know.
We'll talk about this later.
But
I don't know. Another thing that was tough for you, and I feel like maybe I'm probably more involved in this conversation than you might be used to, but again, I was obsessed with this, especially during COVID, to like try to like get her out of her head and to find something, and it wasn't even me pushing her. Like, I've always been super supportive, but like,
he knew there was something that, like, not that I was like holding back, but it was like I just was like reclused a little bit, and I just could not like,
but
figure out what it was.
I even assumed, like, I'm not, you know, fool of myself enough to think, oh, I have to be the one to give her an orgasm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm fine with, hey, you should explore, you should figure out, you know, find your body. But she was like almost grossed out at even touching herself for a while. And it was hard to even just overcome that. So I'm thinking, like, okay, if we're, you know, I'm talking to you now, and she's, you know, 10 years ago, and she's in this position where she feels like she doesn't even want to, you know, touch herself, or it feels gross or unnatural. What kind of advice would you give to somebody like that? Because, I mean, I'm sure there's thousands of women that are in the same position. Oh. She was fine with sex, but just wouldn't touch herself, and was pleasure was just not okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and we have to look at where this comes from. And there, what I see are several blocks to pleasure. There is, you know, having shame around it. So shame is a big one. Guilt is a big one. Feeling guilty for taking too long to get to orgasm. Feeling guilty for being the center of attention. That can bring stuff up. Okay. Insecurity about your body or the way you think your body looks can be a big one for a lot of women. Sexual trauma is obviously a big one, and that is really important to acknowledge. And also just conditioning, you know, the way we've been brought up. Even though, you know, we're here having this very liberated conversation about sex, there's, you know, given our upbringing, if particularly if you grew up in, say, a religious household or in a community where there were very strict rules about what you could and couldn't do, even just getting messages about being a you know, good girls and nice and quiet and do everything for everybody else, there's all of these things. And we have to do the work to dismantle that from the inside out. And that this is, you know, even things like speaking up and feeling comfortable asking for what you want, that could be a huge thing for people. And nobody teaches us this when we're teenagers.
Cannot ask for what she wants. No. That is something we are working on so hard. I'm like, does it feel good? She goes, maybe. I don't
know. I don't know. Like, it could.
It's good. Possibly. I'm like, you can commit to it and I can still move later. You know, it could be good right now.
Right.
And not be good in 2 seconds from now. Like, but it's one of those things that we are so great at communicating in every other aspect of our life.
Right.
But I feel like she doesn't understand some of the signals that her body is giving her.
Yeah.
To be able to communicate that to me to say, you know, yes, this is what I want. Or I feel confident enough that, you know, in asking for this.
Right.
So like a guy like me, how could we help if we, you know, she's shut off and we want to help? Mm-hmm. Do we just sit back and wait 10 years and say, hopefully somebody that's an orgasm expert ends up on our podcast?
That we never thought we would be doing.
Totally hear you on all of that. And this is why I think it's so important that we take our own pleasure into our own hands and not put all the pressure on a partner to be able to provide and do for us. We have to really get curious about what works for us and to be able to know what feels good. That is the first step. And so some of this in the work I do is with pleasure practices and self-pleasure practices and certain techniques. Some of it is more fundamental and is the nervous system and body, just really learning and tuning into how to be with the body on a more regular basis so that you can actually get curious about that. And I've worked with people who, you know, we really just do really simple, like touch just on the hands and just get really curious about, well, what kind of touch do I like? Do I prefer strong touch? Do I like light strokes? You know, and starting particularly in the non-sexual realm as well first, so that you start to develop that muscle for like, actually, this isn't just like, yeah, it's okay. Actually, when I do this, it actually feels really good. So then you're starting to kind of build more of an understanding and a repertoire. And when you build that in a non-sexual way and then start to explore it in self-pleasure, it starts to make it easier to stay with what's there instead of flying off and watching what the kittens are doing.
Yeah. That makes sense. I get that. Yeah.
One thing that I do like to do, because along with her anxiety was a complete fear of reaching out to people because of the unknown of what am I going to expect after I reach out to this person to request their assistance? Yeah. Are they going to immediately call me on the phone? Because that's the end of our relationship right there.
I'm never talking to this person again.
Not answering the phone call, you know? So that is one thing I like to kind of get out, is if somebody wants to reach out to you and stuff, I assume you have services that people can book with you, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So
if somebody wants to book with you, how are you going to reach back out to you? You get to call me immediately? Can you do an email? Is it online? Just kind of walk me through that process a little bit.
Yeah, so all of my work is online. I work with people all over the world. I do one-to-one client work, normally a 6-month coaching container so that you've got the time to get the results and integrate and make it a permanent transformation. I also run group programs, and I also train facilitators to do what I do as well. So there's a whole range of, you know, I like to meet people where I'm at, where they're at. I've got everything from a low-cost membership through to high-end one-on-one services. So, as I say, I've worked with thousands of people over the years. And, yeah, this whole reaching out and asking, like, this is so many of us struggle to ask for help. I know I did. I I'm doing this work because of my own journey as well. You know, I didn't come into the world multi-orgasmic and, you know, everything else. But it's amazing. And I even have clients, like my oldest client is 76, and she is having the best sex, the best orgasms, the best pleasure she's ever had in her life. So I really want to just let everybody know it is never too late to start.
That's incredible.
So we're talking about a session with you. How intimate does this get? Are you literally like walking them through and saying, hey, do this while they're doing, or is it just like notes that they take home and then get intimate with themselves?
Yeah. What we do on the normal,
I realize that sounds silly.
No, it doesn't. Like, I get somebody's this a lot.
Head, she would be like, oh my God, I can never imagine.
I mean, like, I know we do that,
but like, her own 10 years ago.
that'd be way too confronting. So the way we do it, like if I was doing a session with you, we would have a conversation, find out exactly, you know, where are these blocks coming from, what is it that's holding you back, drill down into that a bit more. Then I'd guide you through a movement practice on the call, again not on camera, just a very simple body practice so that you can start to see how, you know, what you can detect in your body, and then I would give you practices to go away and explore in the comfort and safety of your own home.
Okay. Like,
because safety is everything, you know? And I did it myself when I was trying to overcome my blocks. I threw myself into the deep end and it caused me a lot of trauma.
That's how I like to do stuff too. Trauma. First off, I should wait until you finish speaking to make a comment. That's going to teach me. But I also like jumping into the deep end. Yeah. However, I've been stupid lucky. I've thankfully been able to protect her from my stupid things as well.
Yeah.
And that's a benefit, obviously, of us being able to explore this in a marriage where she's safe. We can get a little wilder, but we always give crazy caution to the single females on everything. That is just kind of like our fight in life. It's just to be like, please be safe.
Yeah,
the world is so dangerous.
Yeah, I spent 5 years in a really dodgy tantra community that was incredibly abusive and damaging. So, you know, I've seen what harm does to people, particularly women, when they, you know, and if you think like, oh, I'm really blocked, therefore I need to go in strong and I need to push myself so that I can feel something, because feeling something's better than nothing, that can push you much further back. So it's
for sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I'm all about slow, steady, gentle baby steps. Yeah.
That is a solid opposite viewpoint from mine that I will accept.
Which I totally get. So, baby steps for us is like the name of our game is like everything.
Well, you say that. We do baby steps for a little bit. And then I'm like.
Yeah. Well, I like the baby steps. I'm like, I can do this a little bit at a time. And then, you're like usually like, okay, but like. Let's go ahead and just dive. And
we don't have to like totally participate, but we're gonna dive in and see what everybody else on the deep end is doing at least.
Yeah, I'm like over here in the baby pool. I'm like, I'm cool over here still. I'll watch what's going on, but I'm gonna hang out over here. So
life is super interesting though. You know, we just continually find new things to explore and meet new people to interact with and. I can't wait for you to continue down the orgasm journey.
Yeah, that's true.
So another thing is, I guess, I feel like one of the things I always come across, there's two facts that I see contention on, right? It's all women can is it essentially squirt, and not all women can squirt, right? I know, you're probably going to ask this question a ton.
Yeah.
I thought, for the longest time, I was just going to say, no, not all women can squirt. I've been with women that can. I've been with women that can't. She's like, I can't friggin' squirt.
Yeah.
And then one day during a live stream,
It happened. I was like, oh my gosh.
Without her even trying. And I'm like, what the heck happened?
Like, so now I was just
now everything that I ever knew was a lie. I gave up on even trying to get her to squirt. And it happened. Yeah. This was after years of me trying. She's like, this would be a dream. And right. She's like, no.
And you're like, that's like the end goal. You're like, this is the like.
I was like, yeah, if I get you to squirt, that's it. And I gave up on that dream. Just like so many other dreams.
Right. But then it just happened out of the blue. And we were like, okay, well, maybe.
So what is your thought process on the female ejaculation?
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant question. So I am of the opinion that some of us are more naturally squirty than others, you know? Some people find it really easy and it's just a natural thing. For some people, it takes a lot of hard work to get there. And then we have people who have like spontaneous experiences like you did, you know, and I see all of it. And the one thing I really want to point out is that squirting doesn't always come with orgasm. So, and it's not even necessarily pleasurable. For some women it is. Right. For some people, it's not. And so for some people, if it requires a lot of hard work and your partner's really having to do a lot of strong, essentially finger banging, you know, then that may not feel pleasant at all and may feel quite uncomfortable. So if I think one of the golden components to this is this being able to relax and let go. And that is where it becomes much more possible, as well as stimulation on specific points. So either the G spot or the A spot internally, which is a bit further up the front wall. And you know, you're normally in the position where that's going to happen if you start to hear like a squishy sound and you start to feel engorgement internally. And if you're able to relax and soften into that rather than start tensing and bracing against it, then yes, you're going to be much more likely to experience it. But it's become like this goal. It's become, and especially because it's a visible thing, so it's seen as a sign of success, right, often by partners.
I will say, if I may interject, mine was completely selfish because we make a living from porn.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, this would be pretty cool to have on film.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But other than that,
the journey when it started did not start that way. It was just like, you were like, hey.
That would be cool, and I figured you'd enjoy it. But no, continue. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought.
I know, my bad. That was my fault. You were saying that because partners want their other partners to do it.
So what I was going to say on that is the best pleasure, the best orgasms, and the best sex happens when you're not goal focused. And when we're trying to put all this pressure on to have a goal, whether it's orgasm, whether it's squirting, whatever it is, that can put a lot of pressure on for both parties. So where we can take the goal off the table, wherever possible, to whatever extent we can, that's when you're going to have much more likelihood of success.
See, I have noticed that, like, whenever you try to, like, do something, whatever it may be, and then I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen. And then out of the blue, we'll be, like, doing something, and then... Yeah. Whatever it is that the goal was, like, it'll just kind of happen when we're not even
hours of trying to do anal, and then one day it just slipped in, and I'm like, what the hell?
And I was like, I don't know where that came from, but here we are. So you know, it just everything,
life is weird.
Like everything that like we've ever been like, okay, this is the goal, we want to get to this eventually, it's happened, but when we didn't sit down
from.
Right, like we stopped trying, we weren't like making it a priority to do.
We've learned, like, just especially within the last 3 months, we're just going with the flow on stuff. We're you know, accepting people as they come in. We're just kind of trying not to take as much control over things, and hopefully that'll kind of extend into the sex stuff for you.
I mean, so far it has.
Yeah.
It's like, like had you said at the beginning of the year when, you know, the new year started, like we would be doing a podcast, or I would squirt, or all this, like, it would have been like, you are out of your mind. Like, none of this ever going to happen, because like just in my head and like just everything was, it was just never a possibility. So I'm like, okay, maybe.
So here's, it was just a little like a light, you know, at the end of the tunnel for those guys, you know, they were like, hey, just wait till they get to the dirty 30s.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Dirty 30s are real.
Yeah. So if you can take that same approach into pleasure, particularly around orgasm, and, you know, just like, okay, let's just have fun. Let's just be in the moment with it, rather than having that fixated goal of like, oh, we've got to try and make this work. I've got to like follow this for 2 minutes. And if it's not working, it's not working. You know, if you can take that off the table. And like, I end up working with a lot of female scientists for some reason. And I had somebody who really wanted to experience a G-spot orgasm. And when she was exploring internally, she was like, this is numb, that's numb, can't feel anything there, no pleasure, I'm never going to get there, blah, blah, blah. And when I said, well, let's take the goal off the table and stop approaching it like that. And just as you're exploring with your fingers inside, just notice what sensations are there. What can you feel? Stop judging it for, oh, it's numb, or this isn't pleasurable, or whatever, and just get curious. And she was like, oh, you mean I'm just gathering data, like being a scientist.
I was just saying there. Yeah. Yes.
And she had her first G-spot orgasm, like, literally 2 weeks after that.
That's
so
awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe I just got to be, you know, less analytical and, like, calculated.
Yeah, I've been the deep dive explorer for a while. So I don't mind passing the research off for a little bit. I would like to take it back over at some point, though.
Yeah. I know. You're like, I'll be over here if you need me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But, like, I'm good right now. Like, it's hard to, like, then be, you know, like, in my head and, like, trying to get, you know, the orgasm.
I do not take offense to it.
No, I know he doesn't. But, like, I know you're always there. And you're like, hey, I'm here if you need me. And it's hard to be like, okay, well, I don't know if I need you to jump in, because it's like
great cat defense lately, though.
Yes. Getting them away.
That little light from the vibrator underneath our comforter is just,
it's very distracting.
All they want. So I just have to constantly be here, like, pushing away.
Like, but yeah, no, it's hard to want to like say, hey, I need help, when I don't know what it is that I need.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm totally clueless as far as like, like, I know, like, how the vibrator works and how I know I can get it. But other than that, it's like, I don't know what you can do to help. Like, I don't know what is going to feel good.
I know how I can spice it up for her. Like, if I know that she's already, like, in that zone and there's no doubt that she's going to be able to get it. Which, I think once she started taking some of the anxiety meds, it definitely made it harder, obviously. Yeah. But, like, crazy hard. So, I let off a little bit on my interaction so you could kind of get out of your head. But it used to be like, okay, I could like pinch a nipple, you know, as she's getting ready to come, and that would kind of give her that spike that she needs to go over the edge, or she'd like kind of like having like the you know, the choking, the, you know, like, the pressure on the side, that kind of stuff would, you know, put her over the edge, but
it like make it greater. But like there's times where it's like, oh no, that's too much, like don't touch, like, you know, I'm good, but like, not like a don't ever do it again, but just like in this moment.
Yeah.
No. So like, it's hard to know, like in the moment you're like, I don't know what's going to feel good. I don't want to like, I mean, I know I'm not going to offend you, but like, I don't want to like, be like, don't ever do that again, because like, maybe next week it'll feel good. And so it's hard to like,
she says that, but also her way of communicating is waiting until the very last second and then like kicking me off, basically. Like,
okay, you know, too much.
You keep giving me like a little warning ahead of that. Like,
well, there's a couple of things I'll say to that. Like, the first is like, meds can definitely interfere with the amount of pleasure you can feel, and it can make orgasm a lot harder. So, don't beat yourself up for that, because
we ended up getting it fixed, where it was like, okay, this was too much, and so we knocked it down a little bit, and then I was able to, but like, there was like a 2 week period where it was
longer,
like,
than 2 weeks.
Okay, maybe it was longer, like, I don't remember, it was
felt like forever,
right? But I didn't know what it was. It was like, I don't know why this isn't happening. And I was getting so frustrated, and then we kind of like put it all together. I was like, it's by the medicine. And so and then we started doing the research on the medicine. We're like, it's exactly what it is. So we're like, okay, we're going to go ahead and tweak it a little bit and go from there. Yeah. And after that, it was fine. But it was very frustrating for a long time.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say there as well is like on communication, like getting something I do with a lot of couples that works really well is to use what we call a traffic light system. So if everything's going well, say verbally, green, green, this is great, keep going, I'm enjoying this, green, green. And then if you're like, if you get to a point where like, oh, I'm not sure about this, or then that is amber. It's like, it's not a complete stop. It's a, oh, can we slow down here? Can we take a breather? Can we just check in, you know, see how it goes? And then red is a stop.
Okay.
And if you both start to communicate with that, because it works both ways, it works for both of you, then this starts to build. It starts to help you be able to spot it earlier when it's suddenly gone to like, oh, no, hang on, this is too sensitive. And it makes it easier to course correct in real time. Yeah.
Makes sense. I agree. Yeah. We'll have to give that.
See, I'm going
to
be like green, though. And your arm's going to be like, I can't go any faster.
I know. But.
Yeah. Just as you were saying there about faster, it's a good reminder that, you know, it's sometimes slowing down and getting more subtle is where so much of the pleasure can be explored. And everybody's in this race to pleasure, race to orgasm, race to get it done before we move on to the next thing in our lives. It's like, how can we create a bit more spaciousness about around this and allow ourselves to have, you know, more subtlety, not just big strong peaks and troughs of experiences, but slowing down and really tuning in, because this is often where the gold is. It really is, particularly for female orgasms and female pleasure. So when we're able to slow down and be with sensation more, particularly for people who've had trauma, but for everybody, there's so much more there to explore. It's like smashing food down and wolfing it down really fast where you're not even tasting it.
Okay.
Or actually, you know what? I'm gonna savor this and I'm gonna treat this as a gourmet experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I love like sensation play as far as like doing it to her. I can take literally hours with her. I mean, maybe it takes a little weed to get into that mindset sometimes, but that's fine.
Yeah.
She enjoys it, you know, and I can get into that zone where I'm just like, that she is my absolute only focus in the world. And I just fucking love it. She has a hard time, not because it doesn't feel good, often. Sometimes I'll put her to sleep because I'm doing it well.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I've worked so hard. And then she's like, all right, I'm ready to go to bed. I'm like, no.
You're like, no.
You're killing me. So I feel like there's that fine line of like, okay, I'm giving pleasure. And then, okay, you've reached too much relaxation. Now you've fallen asleep. So how do you, you know, to try to keep her attention or to keep her mind? Obviously, we got kids. So, you know, our days are exhausting. So I understand falling asleep.
Right.
I never falter for it.
Right.
But it is a bit disappointing.
I know.
Especially after an hour and a half of work. You know, put some stuff in the freezer, get some sensation going. You know, got smells going over here.
The oil's
going. Yeah. And then, hey, I'm going to pass out.
Yeah. I usually make it up to you.
Yeah, within a day or two.
Oh, so this, I mean, you can experiment with different times of day as well. Sometimes people find that it's much better in the morning rather than wait until the end of the day when you've not got much left in the tank anyway.
Okay.
That can be really helpful. And also considering what I like to call relaxed arousal. So it's like we can have relaxation, where it's, as you say, it's like, okay, I'm so gone that I just want to curl up and go to sleep.
Right.
But it's like you get to build and tease and drop again, build and tease and drop. So you're kind of playing with relaxation, but also arousal as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten pretty good at doing it in waves. I mean, do it on a larger scale at this point during the day. We like to build it essentially throughout the day. And then before we go to bed, you know, we have, you know, a fantastic release. But
right.
It's, you know, throughout the day, we'll just do a little, hey, let me jump on with you real quick, kind of reconnect and, you know, build things up. And it's fun. I mean, it's obviously our job now, so like it's not something we have to worry about, like, oh, right. I've got to go get on a work call. Well, my work call is probably going to involve me doing that too. Right. So right. It makes it a little easier, but it is cool, and I see the benefit, and I could see how people that do not have a job like we do could benefit from just like, okay, on the weekend, like, let's just, you know, you take 5 minutes without goal. We're going to take 5 minutes just to make each other feel good. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Or even, I mean, we've masturbated just next to each other for years. Like, that's, it's no problem. Just like, okay, hey, we're both stressed out. We both got to get it. Like, to me, that is super essential, because like, you still have to be able to release, even if your partner can't get it for you.
Yeah.
And that's a mental block for so many dudes. They're just so, so butthurt over the idea that they can't get their girlfriend or wife to orgasm that if I can't do it, you're not going to do it yourself. Get the hell over yourself, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sorry, get off my high horse.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like,
I've had guys like offer to pay me to like get their wife to orgasm. Like, I'll give you $500 if you make my wife. I was like, dude, I would never do that to her.
Don't put that pressure on
her. I could never put that pressure on your wife. And like, of course, no wonder she hasn't orgasmed with you.
Yeah. Right. And it's nobody else's job to make you come. Right. It isn't. I see it as an inside experience. And nobody needs that kind of pressure.
Like, no, it was like, you could just tell she was embarrassed too, because she's
I feel bad about it. Like, she goes, I wish I could come, you know, that'd be awesome. Like,
I just can't. And you're like, this is insane that, and like, he's so putting that much pressure on her.
Yeah, and so many women can only come on their own and not with a partner. That is really, really common.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to take the pressure off that.
Yeah.
I think there's no issue with it. I mean, look. Mm. I guess I've been called alpha. I don't feel alpha.
Nah.
But maybe, you know, maybe that's the true sign of it. But to me, it doesn't matter. To me, it's if she needs to take care of herself, her mental state, like, my ego aside, like, why does her orgasm, it affects me because I want her to be happy, but like, how she gets it essentially is none of my fucking business. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's something that has to be done. So I hope that's a stigma that we can break it for somebody. Yeah. That'd be cool, you know?
Because it's like, it doesn't have to be, you know, like, while we're having sex. It's like, it can be a personal, like, solo thing, and like, it can be a solo thing for you. Like, it doesn't have to be a together.
Because sometimes the production, the mess, the cleanup afterwards of what you're doing together is just, it doesn't mesh with what's going on in your day, you know?
Yeah.
Let's do a quick cleanup real quick. Paper towels can take care of this one, you know? And then we can wash up and move on with our day, as opposed to having to, like, you know, get all sweaty and all this other kind of stuff and walk around funny for the next few hours.
But like, you know, just like the stigma of guys being like, I have to be involved. I have to be the reason for your pleasure. It's like,
they're not the kind of guys I want to be with.
No.
I do think that's a young man problem too, though.
Yeah.
I think that's a young man ego.
Yeah.
Probably something that porn has definitely
ruined
for everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe if there's any young dudes listening, maybe some from the, you know, the UAE, where we're number three. get out of your head and let her do her thing.
No, but I mean, like, we've met several, you know, many men, and a lot of them, like, they either are so extreme of like, I will make you come, or they're just like, whatever you got to do to get it done, like, that's fine. Like, and like, everywhere in between, but it's the ones that are like, the pushy is,
I'm going to make her come because I'm so awesome.
Right. You're like, no.
We've had virgins. Like, she, that's her thing, is she has sex with these guys that, you know, are virgins essentially.
Right.
And we had virgins come in and be like, I'm going to make you come. Be like, dude, I'm not even sure you're going to be able to get like a boner. So I have no idea where your mindset is right now.
But like, and I don't
let's get that goal off the table, because I can't make her come. You're certainly not going to make her come.
I mean, like, if it happens, it happens. But like, it's never happened. But like, you know, like, I don't want to be like,
I would be beside myself, by the way.
Oh.
I would be absolutely destroyed if a virgin came in and made you come. Before I did. I'll be signing up for your course then.
But like, I don't want to like make it a challenge for him. Be like, go ahead and try. But at the same time, it's like it's we all know it's not going to happen. No,
we tell them do not try because all it does is just like she enjoys it. You enjoy her. You know, take your time and enjoy her.
This isn't about me.
You are enjoying yourself
right
in the moment. Like she enjoys the situation. She enjoys the mental state of it. You know, she's able to feel herself in that moment.
Right.
With them doing that, but if they start putting the pressure of, oh, I want to see her come, then all of a sudden it ruins it for her. Yeah, it's going to end up ruining it for them, you know? So we've just communicated that with them now. It's happened, you know, one or two times, and then we were just like, okay, you're not going to make her come. So just
stop trying.
Stop.
Yeah.
You have fun. I'm having fun. So don't ruin the fun by trying to put that pressure. So, and yeah, like you said, it's only been a few, and we've made sure to very much tell them don't do this. Like don't put that pressure.
Anything else that is worth mentioning?
I would just like really just want to reiterate and highlight that if you're struggling with orgasm or you feel like you're wired differently to everybody else or you might be broken in some way, you're not. Like it is possible for everybody. And as I say, I've seen incredible results with people. I remember working with somebody who she was in her late 40s. She'd never experienced any orgasm of any kind. She'd been to her doctor who told her to try mindfulness. That didn't work. She'd been to a sex therapist who'd given her a big plug in Hitachi. That didn't work. And through our work together, she had her first orgasm and she was just like, I just cannot believe this.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you find that a lot of women have a really emotional experience when they have their first one?
Yeah. Yeah. Either in the moment, sometimes it's in the moment, but often it's afterwards of just the stuff like just a relief and sense of like, oh my God. And it's just like this, for some people, it can just be this real sense of like, wholeness and just like, wow, you know, this is me. There's nothing gives me more pleasure and satisfaction than when someone says to me, I just feel like myself again.
That's awesome. That's what it's all about for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have obviously proven that you know what you're talking about. So I'll go ahead and co-sign for you for anybody that's listening.
Not that we have any credibility on this.
We have no credibility at all. I'm not certified, but you look legit. You have an amazing accent.
Yeah.
And,
thank you.
Everything that you've said has resonated with us.
It's made sense.
So I'm going to go ahead and co-sign that. give us your links. I know that we're going to have you tagged in some of these. We're going to have some good clips from this one, I'm sure, because there's some funny parts. But I'll go ahead and tag you in it. Give us your links so that they can find you and how to contact you.
Yeah, my website is the easiest place, mangalaholland.com. Okay. You'll find everything on there. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we would love to have you again if you ever have anything else you want to talk to us about.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. It's been so much fun. Thank you.
Yes, it's been a blast. Thank you.
Common confidential. You know, sometimes when you think about luxury, you think about like the bed sheets or the mattress that you're on. You don't necessarily think about the towels that you're going to use to clean up with afterwards. And that is probably my favorite thing about what we received from Common Confidential is these little cum rags. Y'all, it seems silly, but they are absolutely amazing. I mean, let's not get it twisted. The blanket they gave us is awesome too. Steph and I rolled around on it immediately. And the body butter that they gave us, I mean, it works for penetration too, which, you know, right up our alley. But still, the 6 washcloths, that is what I think about most often and what I try to keep clean. Because if I'm going to clean up, I'd much rather clean up with that than with a paper towel. I know it's silly, but y'all go check it out yourself, commonconfidential.com, and then use our discount code, AwkwardPillowTalk. Get some for yourself. You're going to thank me later.
So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like you kind of saw it in movies. You're like, oh, it's a penis pump, you know, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, you know, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, you know, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme
7, and I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout. My dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player. And it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then maybe 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before. So I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. bathmatedirect.com/StephanieClassX.
Hey, Jason, I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe. What do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the Spicy Pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to, you know, actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw.
Right.
But how are you thinking we do it? Like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go.
In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen. Be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We love to do custom content, and we love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. If you want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.